Here we are, X-Gym, talking about fitness and health and brain stuff. Today, I want to talk about busting this COVID fear cycle.
Okay.
And it could apply to anything. It could apply to any world event. You know, somebody, the war is starting, stock market is crashing, you know, some zombie apocalypse, you know, whatever it is that can trigger fear.
Yeah.
And the mainstream media is really good at triggering fear.
100%.
And there's lots of reasons behind that. One of them being they make more money, because when you're in a fear state, you are in a buying state, a purchasing state. And so then when their advertisements come on, you're more likely to buy that stuff.
Right.
So they've always been that way for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's other motives, you know, to get people in fear besides just that. But, you know, we don't talk about all those motives.
Right.
It's what to do about it.
Yeah, 100%.
And so all of these podcasts are going to be focused on training your brain.
Mm-hmm.
This is brain training.
Mm-hmm.
Hopping on that brain train. And to train your brain to work for you and not against you. Most people's brains are working against them. And that's why they're having such a struggle. Whether it's trapped in fear or whether it's not being able to eat right, doing the things they should. You know, people should all over themselves, right? Oh, I should do this. I should do that. And we all do.
Yeah.
But it's because their brain is working against them.
Yeah.
The subconscious brain especially, which operates at about the level of a 3-year-old. So that's why I call it our inner toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Because our prefrontal cortex, the front part of the brain, is training the rest of the brain, that including the amygdala, where you get trapped in those emotional states. And then when you can only be in one part of the brain at once. And so when you're pulled out of the PFC into the amygdala or other parts of the brain that are fear centers, basal ganglia, there's a lot of places that everywhere else but the PFC can be a fear center to some extent. And when you're out of that prefrontal cortex, the parent brain, you're not thinking rationally, logically, willpower's gone, and
emotionally.
Yeah, you're just reacting.
Mm-hmm.
You're reacting to your surroundings like an animal.
Right.
And it's really hard to pull yourself out unless you know how.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about
today.
Start
to spiral, for sure.
Spiral, for sure. And giving some practical application to that, because people get hijacked. You know, it's an amygdala hijack. And once you get in that fear state and out of your PFC, you're just not thinking clearly and you're reacting. So I call it the fight, flight, or freeze, because people have the reaction when they're in a fear state to run away or to stay and fight, or they just freeze. They don't do either.
That's interesting, because I've actually never heard of the freeze part. I've always heard of fight or flight. So when someone's freezing, wouldn't you consider that flight, or what's the difference, do you think?
The difference is the brain is short-circuited. You don't know what to do, so you do nothing.
Wow. Okay.
Doing nothing is easier than fighting or fleeing.
Right. Fleeing. So leaving.
And the brain chooses that.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this with people like up in bear country.
Right.
And they'll either run away. Most people don't choose to fight.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens,
run away.
It actually works. You can see some YouTube people
fighting
bears.
The bears.
I just saw one. This
no
bear,
way.
This bear came in the house to try to get this guy's dog.
Are you kidding?
And so he just lunged at the bear, right
oh
into the bear,
gosh.
And just pushed him in. It freaked the bear out so much he just ran off.
That's
and,
wild.
Yeah, but it was just, that was that particular guy's reaction.
Right.
Most people would run away and let the bear eat the dog. But this
we
guy's
love
like,
you, but sorry.
This guy's, I know. Yeah, not that much.
We're done. We're good.
Yeah. You're just
see
the
you
dog.
In heaven.
Yeah.
Right. Well, save us a seat, you know. So. Oh my gosh.
But this guy's natural reaction was to fight.
Right.
It's rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's about as rare in the case of a bear as it is to freeze.
Yeah.
But there are people that freeze too. And then the bear's like, oh, here's an easy snack. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Fight, flight, or freeze. And they're all controlled by the other areas of the brain besides the PFC. And so what I want to talk about today is how to get out of the amygdala and back into the PFC.
Okay.
And it's really just a pattern. So it's really not as complicated as a lot of people think.
Okay.
The fight, flight, freeze state is a pattern that you're in. And getting trapped in your amygdala is a pattern. And to get out of the pattern, you can, the top three ways are changing your focus, changing your physiology, and changing your belief. And so let's start with the physiology. That could be as easy as changing your posture.
Mm.
When people are fearful or depressed or worrisome, stressed out, they're like this.
Slouched.
Yeah. They come forward because it's a protection kind of posture.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes getting out of that state is as easy as this.
Just pushing your shoulders back, chest is out, good posture.
And, or if, you know, somebody calls me in a crisis, I will interrupt their pattern. You know, they're going into their crisis mode and their story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say, hold on. Boom, I just interrupted them. That can be enough to be an interrupt, pattern interrupt. Then I say, are you standing up or sitting down? They'll tell me, oh, I'm standing up. I go, can you sit down for me? Okay, go on. Now they start talking.
So kind of like thinking through it. They're actually like, okay, rationalizing it because they just changed their anxious state of standing and talking about it to sitting. Wow, that's so interesting.
Their story.
They're circling.
They're circling. And their story is like a record, a CD player. They're playing that CD. I just put a scratch in it. One scratch doesn't make a big deal.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be a big scratch and it makes a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But then another 30 seconds later, I'll say, oh, hold on a second. You're breaking up. Or something to stop them. There's another scratch in it.
Hmm.
Everybody, based on their brain type and wiring, might be a deep scratch, might be a light scratch. But pretty soon, there'll be enough scratches that they can't play that CD anymore.
Hmm.
And then that story is damaged. And when it's damaged, it's permanent.
Right. And so you were talking about like interrupting, like you, for example, interrupting. So say if someone was by themselves and they wanted to use that method, how would they interrupt themselves or bring their own attention to it? Is that possible to do something like that?
Bingo. You can scratch up your own CD.
Interesting.
And one way is that I just mentioned is changing your posture.
Changing your posture.
Or changing your breathing.
Changing your breathing, okay.
Or doing something with your fingers, you know, skipping a finger.
So like just using thumb to finger, each finger. So like your pointer, your middle.
And that is focus and physiology.
Okay.
So you're focusing on something different now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're changing your physiology. And then your belief. And the quickest way to change your belief or to challenge your belief, and sometimes that's all that it takes, is to just say, is this true?
Like asking yourself a question. Yeah, that's huge. I feel like a lot of people do not ask themselves questions. They'll just sit there and they'll spiral and they spiral and they spiral. But maybe those first concepts that you're talking about kind of get them in a different state of mind so that they can ask themselves those questions.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And my favorite one is this true? Especially when you're watching MSM,
mm-hmm.
mainstream media, is when they say something, just question everything.
Question it, yeah.
So is that true?
Yeah.
And then ask again, is that really true?
Yeah.
What's their sources? Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
Do I trust those sources?
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's any doubt to trust
mm-hmm.
or the story, and smart people have an intuition.
100%, yeah.
And so when you ask the question, is this true? Your intuition can say, probably. But if it's a probably,
yeah.
Then let me do my own research. I'm going to get on SwissCows.com and I'm going to search that subject. And I'm going to find out my own truth.
So Swiss cows, is that where you buy cheese or?
You probably could. You could search for cheese and you could buy it through that.
I've never even been on that site. That's crazy.
So Google's worthless.
Okay.
And Bing is worthless.
Right.
They are completely controlled for the narrative that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so your search results are going to rank based on the narrative. So DuckDuckGo is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be better. The Brave browser is also pretty good. But the best by far that I found is SwissCows.com.
Interesting.
There's no narrative. Mm-hmm. It's completely agnostic, which is great.
That is great.
So that's what I use. So breaking your pattern is how to get out of the amygdala. Mm-hmm. And then another thing you can do with your physiology is breathing. Nose breathing is the most effective, mm-hmm. because then you are stimulating certain nerves that help you relax. And controlled timed breathing is also really good. So you're slowing it down. Deep breathing can break your pattern, because when you're stressed, you're going to be breathing in the top third of your lungs. It's going to be quick, shallow. And then my favorite is actually square breathing. And that's when you breathe in to four counts, hold for four, breathe out to four, and hold empty lungs for four. Rinse and repeat.
Okay.
And that's a Navy SEAL technique to calm them down when they're stressed out, which, you know, they're under stress most of the time.
Yeah, I think just what you were saying is anxiety is very, very common nowadays because of all the input that we're getting. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't take that time to kind of think for themselves, mm-hmm. or just take time to reflect even. So they're just really caught up in that like high energy, highly entertained type thing. Mm-hmm. And so I personally have experienced anxiety, like panic attacks, a long time ago. And I used to have panic attacks in grocery stores. It was really weird. Mm-hmm. And I would go out to the car. And I would lay there, like in the car, kind of seated back and breathe. Mm-hmm. Nose breathing always. And it definitely worked for me. So I think that's actually really valuable information. The square breathing is what you called it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you called it?
Yeah.
That's a great technique because when you hold for some reason, it really helps. Do you know why when you hold? Is it because you're holding in like certain things, or is it just because that pattern is just really good and calms down the nerves?
That pattern's good. It's a nervous system thing. It's also a safety and control thing.
Okay.
Because when you take control of your breath, you have control, mm-hmm. which is a human need. And then when you realize you're okay even holding your breath, then you're reinforcing that you're also safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to hold your breath when it's full lungs than when it's empty lungs. But when you're both are great, because when you're full lungs, you're realizing that you don't actually need to breathe. And when you're panicking, you have to breathe, and it's really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you hold your breath with empty lungs, you're like, oh, everything is okay. If this is okay, everything else is okay. It's all on a subconscious level, but you're teaching your toddler that everything is okay.
Chill out.
It's a parasympathetic nervous system hack, mm-hmm. trying to get out of your sympathetic into your parasympathetic. The sympathetic is the fight or flight, and the parasympathetic is rest and digest.
Mm-hmm.
You're teaching your toddler, who is usually in the sympathetic, that it's okay, patting them on the head, and look, this proves everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now just chill. And
right.
Then you can go parasympathetic. And then once you're parasympathetic, it's easy to switch back into your PFC.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start to think logically. And then when you ask the question, is this true? Or is this real? Or is this really happening? Then your PFC can answer the question logically and rationally.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're still trapped in your amygdala and you ask that question, the toddler's going to answer. And the toddler's going to say, yeah, it's real. It's really happening. Because to a toddler, you know, things are real. And toddlers
anything that's said to them is real.
Yeah.
You know, they just take it for fact right away because they're young and they're trusting. Yeah, that's 100% accurate. Just working with children, I absolutely know that.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, even as adults, we are like grown-up children at times. And so that mm-hmm. does happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can have two sides. You have the responsible party and the not-so-responsible party.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And that's why people call the PFC the parent brain.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at a toddler having a tantrum, it's really the end of the world for them. I mean, they are so distraught or angry, and it's because they didn't get their gumball.
Right.
And they are just devastated.
Yeah, their whole world is crashing down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sky is completely falling. And we can get that way over little stuff.
100%. Oh, yeah.
And most of it isn't true. We imagine things.
And overthinking. Yeah.
And then we get completely stressed out about that imaginary fake thing, and it hasn't even happened.
Yeah.
So this is just resetting and rebooting
mm-hmm.
by breaking your pattern. And then once you're into your PFC and you're thinking rationally and logically and calmly with these techniques, then you can start to do things like affirmations.
Oh, I love that. I love that a lot.
Affirmations work a lot better when you're in your PFC than right. when you're in your toddler brain. So if you've escaped out of that amygdala, basal ganglia, and those areas of the brain that you can get trapped in, affirmations are a lot more effective. But your toddler's always listening, even if you're in your PFC.
Yeah.
So the parent brain's now talking to the toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're doing these affirmations, you're doing them with emotion.
Right.
You're being emphatic.
You're saying it with enthusiasm, is what you're yeah. saying.
Because anything that works on a toddler is going to work on your subconscious.
You know, it's interesting that you said that, and I think affirmations is just a wonderful way of doing that. And I honestly love some examples of what you think an affirmation, a good affirmation would be, especially during this time and like what you can tell yourself. But something I was just going to touch on is that input is huge, 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 huge.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you feel like you're not listening, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Your subconscious brain, right? And that sometimes will take over for you. So when you are listening to things, like for example, you have the news on all the time,
mm-hmm.
or you have a podcast on, like for example, what we're doing today, or you have music playing, or whatever that is, subconsciously you're taking that in, and that will come out because what goes in must come out.
Bingo.
So it's just really being careful about what you're listening to and what you're putting into your brain.
Preach it.
Yeah, because it's just, it does not matter whether you're at a standstill, you're not doing anything, your brain dead. Your brain is always working. It's always on. So you must be careful and treat your brain like a temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to let crappy things into your temple? Are you going to let some like toxicity, mold? That's what this stuff is, mm-hmm. is mold for mm-hmm. your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you just shouldn't be doing that. So that's huge, is the affirmations, is even if it feels weird, which I know that affirmations can feel really strange when you first start doing them, it should be like you're talking to yourself,
yeah.
you know, you're like, oh, I'm a crazy person, you know, so it's like, but that's not true. If you're just, you continue to do it and you make it a habit, you will be amazed at the confidence that raises from that. And not only that, but the fear that starts to go away as you put in action in helping your brain work better. So
bingo.
Just wanted to add that.
Yeah, it's brilliant, because especially when you're listening to the news in the background.
Right.
That's one of the most toxic things you can do.
So toxic.
For your brain.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what station it is either.
No.
You know, people, oh, the left is CNN and the right is Fox News. It's all bad.
Yeah.
It's all fear-based. It's all awful and toxic. Horrible.
Yeah. Just too much.
And I gave up news in 2008. I even gave up my TV in 2008. I just gave up
your
all that
TV?
Crap. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because of how toxic all TV is, in my opinion.
No, it is 100%. And just to touch on that as well, I have, you know, I do have a slight TV addiction,
mm-hmm.
Because it helps me feel like my brain is turned off. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying before, your brain's never turned off.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're putting into it will eventually come out. So if you're watching like all these shows, and I'm not saying don't enjoy yourself, but too much of anything is not good for you.
Yeah.
So if you start to really indulge a little more, you're doing it every single day for hours on end.
Yep.
It just starts to become really toxic for you.
Yeah. And then the question is, how much is your time worth?
Exactly. So like you could be doing other things that are more productive and moving you forward.
And that are better for your brain.
And that are better for your brain.
Now,
yeah.
There's a little caveat here, is we have a little projector in our bedroom, just shines up on the wall. And there are some shows that we occasionally watch, but we're very careful of what goes into our brain.
Yeah.
So the first time we got addicted was the Andy Griffith Show.
I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh.
I have to watch it now.
Oh my gosh.
We're talking about not putting our stuff in our brains. But no, yeah, that sounds fun. I definitely, what's it about?
It's back like in the 50s.
Okay.
And it was shot, I think, in the late 60s. But just old America.
Okay.
When towns were nice and people cared about each other.
Right.
And it's just so refreshing.
People cared about each other. I almost missed that. Oh, my God. Terrible. But true.
There's still some small towns that are like that now.
100%, yeah.
But you know, living here in a big town.
Yep.
It's so refreshing to see a show like that. And we just got addicted just with the morals and values and principles. And so we just went through all the seasons. And then when it was over, we're so upset.
Sad.
Because, oh, we're out of shows. Andy Griffith is so good. So then I was like, oh, what are we going to watch now? And so then we found Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Which I used to watch as a kid. And so now we're plugging through those. And same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, old America, late 1800s, where people were nice to each other and, you know, towns cared for themselves and their people. And
yeah.
And it's just, you know, wonderful. So we're putting that stuff in our brains.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Which is fine.
That's good, yeah.
And, you know, I wear my blue...
Blue light glasses.
Yeah. Blocks out, actually, these are blue and green blockers, but so then I can be getting tired, as you know, because it's bedtime, that kind of stuff. But it's true what you put in, and it's also true, like you said, that even if it's just background noise, that a lot of people say, oh, that's their excuse, oh no, I just use it for background noise,
mm-hmm.
They're hearing it, every word, like you said. And any time that we tune out, we think we're tuned out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if that background noise says our name,
mm-hmm.
Perk right up.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're listening. Your toddler's hearing every single word of that.
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah.
So
the one thing I was going to kind of come circle back to, you were talking about affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any specific ones that will really help people get out of COVID fear? Or is there anything that you like to say to yourself or anything you can think of?
Yeah, but... See, that all comes down to the brain type test, because there's 16 different brain types. And
right, which is very important.
The kind of affirmation is going to be really based on your brain type.
Okay.
Braintype.me, brain type me, is the shortcut for people to learn more. But the test will show you which of the 16 types you are. And then it gives you very customized prescriptions and hacks and tips and tricks, and even half a dozen brain training techniques that are going to make sense to your brain wiring.
Right.
And then you'll learn more about the kind of affirmations and things and
yeah.
techniques. And affirmations might not even be one of the brain training techniques that you need. It might not be one of your top six. It still might work for your brain type, but it might not be in your top six.
Yeah. I took the brain type test a while ago, and it's been perfected since then, so I'm going to take it again. But when I did take it, two things that really stuck with me that were huge
mm-hmm.
were the eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
While I was sitting there. So when I watch TV and my brain is quote unquote off,
mm-hmm.
I will eat like a sumo wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I don't eat when I'm watching TV. And I've actually dropped weight because of that. Because I'm not eating constantly when I'm watching TV. The other one was that I needed to exercise at least, like, not a ton, but just be active 6 times a week in order to have, like, good sanity and just feel good and be healthy, right? And ever since then, I kind of led by that, and it's just changed me
mm-hmm.
dramatically. And so knowing those things about yourself that you didn't know before,
yeah.
not only are going to help you with health and fitness, but mentally.
Yeah.
Because they coexist.
Mm-hmm.
They go together.
Mm-hmm.
So just very, very valuable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Another story about that is, you know, I know my brain type and Bev's brain type, and it's even helped with really relate to each other, because one story is we got these really yummy drinks at Bargain Market. You know, just no sugar, sweetened with erythritol. And so we brought them home, put them on the table there, and Bev is more of the sensing brain type. Senses. You know, the five senses make more, it's a bigger deal to her than it is to me. And so, of course, that includes smell and taste. And so she's just plowing through hers because they're just so yummy and so good. And so her half of the drinks we bought were pretty much gobbled up in a few days. And then she's looking at my half, and I've drinking one or two, and she's going, oh, so
you're
going to drink those?
Oh my gosh, if that is not me, I'm like, so are you going to eat that? Are you going to drink those? Because I will get so addicted mm-hmm. to things. I eat way too fast, honestly. It's
yeah.
something that I have to work on,
mm-hmm.
is slowing down, because it's actually better for you to slow down, but man, can I relate to that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so before I took the brain test,
yeah,
I would have thought, I would have been maybe a little territorial about my half. Like, no, I'm taking my time, but I'm going to drink them all. But then because I knew from our test that she's sensing and I'm not, I'm like, well, actually, it doesn't really matter to me. These are a little better than water, but because I'm not a sensing type, it's not a big deal. To her, it's a big deal. So yeah. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, finish as much as you want, as you know, as quick as you want. Because it's a little deal here and it's a big deal there.
That's just good people skills, honestly. Yeah, that's just understanding the brain type and then also being willing to change as well. And I think that when you do recognize what's going on in your brain and someone else's brain, that is a game changer because it helps you understand yourself, but then also understand. I think I would highly recommend that if you're going to take the brain type test and you have a romantic partner,
yeah,
they take it as well. Because if you guys understand each other in that way, boom, it's just going to be such a game changer. So
how many times do you hear couples talking about, why can't so-and-so just
understand? Yeah. Why don't they get it? I don't get why they don't understand. I can't explain it any different to you, you know, type
right.
of thing. So
right.
yeah, it's a total thing.
Well, the problem
thing.
Is the way I'm explaining it to you isn't registering in your brain because that's not your wiring.
Brain, oh gosh, this is,
you don't need to hear it.
This has come up so many times in, I don't know, the last like couple months, 3 months. And it's just because it's perspective, right? But it's also the way your brain chemistry is wired. Which is why it's so important to understand your brain and then someone else's. So yeah, it's so crazy. But
and people ask me all the time, you know, that with the current times or, you know, maybe a politician's doing something or
right.
whatever's happening, and they say, why can't such and such happen, or why can't so and so think this way, and why does so and so say this? And I just say, stop asking that question.
Yeah.
Because you'll never be able to answer it because you don't have that wiring.
Mm-mm.
And you're just going to get caught in a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Asking a question you'll never be able to answer with your wiring.
Yeah, the better way to communicate with another human is to understand why they're thinking the way they're thinking. And then be able to explain your point of view in the way that they understand it. That's how to get across to somebody. So, yeah, that is so important in today's society is understanding each other's brain and like knowing what someone else is thinking, which you can't do, but by talking to someone,
yep,
you can really learn.
And some people are better at putting themselves in other people's shoes than others.
Yeah.
But that's how Gandhi changed India.
Yeah.
He was particularly gifted at putting himself
in other people's shoes,
mm-hmm. even the British.
Yeah.
And the only person better at it that I can think of than Gandhi was Jesus, because he's in their head already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm in here, what's up, knock, knock. Are you thinking?
So he knew exactly what to say and how to say it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's huge. Yeah. And when you understand yourself and the other person, then now you're on a different level.
I just love that you brought that up too, because it really does relate back to, because we were talking about COVID fear. It circles back. This is all interrelated, where yeah. it's because you're not understanding someone else's point of view. That's why people are arguing so much nowadays, is because there's so many different perspectives. And yeah. we've come so accustomed to, when you have a certain perspective, yours is the right one and the other person's is not, no matter what, right? And so having a system that helps you understand the way you're thinking and then the way someone else is thinking is huge in today's mm-hmm. society. So,
boy, I'm glad you said that, because earlier when I said, ask the question, is this really true?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, do that for things you hear, but do that for yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do that to myself all the time.
Right.
You know, I come up with some idea and I will stop and I'll say, okay, is it really true? What facts do I have to base this idea, this concept, this theory on? And then I ask it again, because maybe my first answer is, oh yeah, that's true. But that's because of my bias that I already mm-hmm. have. So is it really true, PJ? Mm-hmm. And then I get on Swiss Cows. Okay, maybe not.
Yeah. Like, dang, I really feel like it's real.
Yeah.
But man, I'm going to do my homework and kind of check. And
I know.
That's your toddler brain talking right there. Exactly. I just want to be right. Exactly. I just want to be right, you know.
Exactly.
So just to recap on everything that we talked about. So we talked about getting out of your fear state. So could you touch on those points again, just kind of numbering them again?
The easiest way is just to break your pattern.
Break your pattern.
Focus, okay. Physiology, belief. And one of the three can be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the three is usually always enough.
Right.
Borderline always.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the three for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But just remembering that. Focus, physiology, belief. And then one way to get all three at the same time is the EFT technique. And that is the technique that's on most of the brain types, not all, but most.
Okay.
And if I made a little bit.ly for it, bit.ly/ PJ tapping.
Oh, tapping. Love the tapping. Mm.
It's
oh
the
my
tapping
goodness.
Technique. So people can go to that.
Not tap dancing, just so we're clear.
Right.
You got to clarify.
Yeah. And then, it can do focus physiology and belief all at once. So that's why it's such a great technique to break that pattern, mm-hmm. get you back in your PFC. Because another thing that's in the PFC is willpower.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in your PFC, forget willpower. That's why people, their eating habits go to heck at night.
Yeah.
Because during the day, decision fatigue, stress, all those things, PFC gets tired out. Move back into the toddler brain, you're out of the PFC, that's where the willpower is, boom, willpower's out the window. And then you're taking these chips and you're putting them in your face and you're going, why is my hand putting these chips on my face? I wish I could stop, but I can't.
Take these away from me. Yeah. I always say, take these away from me. So, yeah, been there.
So that would be the top brain training technique mm-hmm. for today is the EFT technique.
Mm-hmm.
But then the overall pattern interrupt, focus, physiology, belief. So there you have it. There's our first ever podcast talking about this fear cycle. And it could be, like I said, it could be any fear. It doesn't have to be, you know, the current COVID fear. It could be anything that's happening. But we don't have to be trapped in that fear, and we don't have to be controlled by the fear. We can take our control back.
Yeah, which is huge.
And it's easy. It's way easier than most people realize, but this is how to do it. This is the easiest way I've found and the fastest way I've found to take back your control, get out of the fear state, get out of the amygdala, and back into the PFC.
And that's all I have to say about that.